This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And again, Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years, you know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote.
What's he talking about?
Well, he's speaking to me as a Christian who hates and is so tired of voting. I mean, I'll do it, but I don't like it.
And just this once.
I'll do it this once.
What's he talking about?
I don't know. That's one of the kookiest clips from the weekend.
I've seen the mainstream media is turning this around and blah, blah, blah. And they showed one clip of him saying that and then another one. And they're like, you see his head turn at the end? And I was like, I didn't see it.
What were they implying?
It's, I don't know, that his head tilt made something different.
Okay.
It's a racist dog whistle.
See, this is where I think I don't think I'm actually 99.9% sure that Trump isn't saying this is the last election we're going to have. But
yeah,
what's he doing?
I'm not sure. I think he was. My guess is that he was saying, I think something happened to him at the assassination attempt, where he's had a little bit of like a, wow, God really protected me. And he was getting all jazzed up because he was talking to Christians. And he's like, look, hey, I'm with you now. But he was just kind of rambling. Like, just go vote because I'm a Christian, you know? Like, we're the same.
Josh says, what's he talking about? He's saying my presidency is going to be so good that you'll never have to worry about politics again. Standard Trump bombast, move on. I can see why people would be like, move on. Quickly.
Yeah.
I just... These are things that he says that I'm like, no, wait a minute. Even if it makes obvious, clear sense, the dude does not think he's going to be a dictator.
No,
that's not it. I think that Donald Trump knows what agitates the other side, and he can't help himself. And I'm like, could you help yourself a little bit? Because it would help me. But it's interesting to me that he says things like this, and then we just see a flood of the most predictable comments from the people on the left. We're like, see each other like foaming at the mouth. And it's like, no, that isn't it. I find that, oh man, this is so subjective. So maybe it's completely not a fair statement. So I predicate what I'm about to say with that. The right and the Republicans, at least currently, not really when I was growing up, but currently have a sense of humor and a punkness to them that the left doesn't have. The left has the ability to see over anything they hate and despise, and they seem to gain the most joy over a collective bonding of disgust over anything conservative, right, or Republican or Trump. And everything comes back to that. Always. The first inclination that somebody who is hopelessly politically driven on the left is to think Trump, as is evidenced by Keith Olbermann wanting to cancel the St. Louis Cardinals because Biscuit put his hand in the air after he hit a home run. talking about Alec Burleson.
Biscuit, yeah.
And his former existence as a DJ rapper who, for whatever particular reason, went by the name Biscuit. And they're like, Trump, Trump, I see Trump everywhere. I can't make it stop. The St. Louis Cardinals, they have to be ended. I mean, most people want to end the St. Louis Cardinals for other reasons because we used to be perpetually annoyingly good. I would like to get back to that.
yeah, me too.
No kidding.
Instead of the Keith Olbermann, the sage wisdom that is his to impart upon people saying that they should just get rid of the St. Louis Cardinals because they dared to acknowledge Donald Trump, which is not even what happened.
How does one become a dictator?
I don't know. See Venezuela. It's happening right now.
Yeah. But you'd have to cheat in elections. And one thing that Trump has talked about a lot that he doesn't like is cheating in elections. So does he just say, no, I'm not leaving, and that's it? And everybody goes, ah, darn it. Or what? You know, it just seems like it's a lot of fear about something that would be really tough to do.
You'd have to really, that's too overt, that's too obvious. You'd have to do it more in a way where you'd kind of have to have a handshake agreement with people who are sort of in the background to make the moves, to make sure that it was more consistent than having to rely on the people to like name the dictator. You'd kind of have to pick them.
Mm. Okay, well, then I guess at least... We come back in full circle here. At least this is the last time we'll have to vote.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, too, is that you cannot get away with any of that if you don't control the messenger. If you are incapable of controlling the people who are out there to truth tell, the media, you can't do it because people will tell on you. If you could control that, though, then that would be a problem.
You like you could lie for a long time and get away with it because you had coverage from kind of like the powers that be in the media.
And if anyone challenged you, you would just call them names and say that they were like a threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when people do participate in that and fund the background of silencing media, you could, you know, dabble in the idea of suggesting that anybody who said anything against any, like, it just muddies the waters a lot. So people can take advantage of those situations where there's money being invested and questions being called into the open about whose voice can you really trust, you know, when money is involved and politics are involved. Anybody who would like take advantage of that situation, that's a pretty low blow.
To accomplish that, though, wouldn't you really have to censor dissent? Like, wouldn't you have to have like a ministry of truth that kind of oversaw the messages that were out there and make sure that they were consistent with the one you wanted?
And you'd have to permit other people who are dissenting in an approved way and almost glorify it. Like, say, like, these are brave people. Venezuela, right?
Yeah. It's weird. Like, you look at another country and you go, gosh, they're so far down that rabbit hole. Good thing we're not going that way. Feels good to be an American in that sense.
Scooter said heritage is the think tank behind the dictatorship. Have another cup of Kool-Aid, Scooter.
Huh. So, like, they're controlling all the mainstream outlets.
You know, when it comes to Project 2025, it's very strange to me that the Project 2025, which is a list of conservative ideals, which is a product of a conservative think tank that a lot of conservatives support because they donate to them to make conservative ideals come to be, there's a way that we skip over the understanding that 50% of this country is conservative, moderate to conservative. 50% of this country is moderate to progressive. So we exist on both sides of the aisle. Project 2025 is a classic Solinsky way of using words and vocabulary to sum up and manifest an enemy, because people unite against an enemy. People don't usually care to unite if there's no common enemy. I mean, you just kind of want to be like, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. I just want to take care of me. I want to put my feet up tonight. I don't want to have to go to battle. But if there's a common enemy, you don't have time to put your feet up. You got to go to battle all the time. You got to be on your guard all the time. And I know in a lot of ways that George Soros has been the name that has been used as the common enemy of the right. And you can look at where the money goes. He is investing in politicians, Kim Gardner, among many others, and entities that he feels will be a means to his natural political end that he sees to be beneficial for whatever particular outcome he's searching for. And when you use his name, the left is very aggressively defensive against that, to the point where they do the very predictable thing, which is to like label people racist. If you like, you can't talk about George Soros because he's Jewish. So if you criticize him, you're an anti-Semite. But you also can't defend and support Israel right now in the same breath because I can't keep up, folks. Yeah. I can't do it. I'm not one of you. I don't get it.
You can burn an effigy of Netanyahu last week outside of Congress, and that's free speech.
Though. Brave. Bold.
Okay. Just making sure I'm following.
Hateful. First Amendment.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy is what gets under that's the most bipartisan emotion, I think, that Americans have. Like, not the people who are on the far, far right. Not the people who are on the far, far left. The people who are in the moderate middle, dipping a little bit into the left wing, dipping into a little bit of the right wing. People hating hypocrisy is a universal language. And we have so much of it right now. And you know, going back to the idea that you would have a Project 2025 that is created by a conservative think tank, it's not like the United States federal government created Project 2025 and was like, this is what needs to be implemented, because that's the type of bologna sausage that has been coming out of the left for quite some time. The bureaucracy that exists in the federal government right now, massively grown under both Democrat and Republican presidencies, the bureaucracy of the federal government that is paid for by you, creates and sustains these types of policies, and they're never elected or unelected. That's how you get things like domestic terrorist Catholics. So if you're living in a world where you understand that part of the reality is that Catholics have been listed as domestic terrorists, you can understand why people would have a quick trigger when they see the Last Supper being depicted by an entire who's whom among the LGBTQ community in a way where you're over-sexualizing the Olympic Games with a child on stage. And you're like, well, this tracks. And then the left does what the left does. And they go, oh, you guys, everything's not about religion. This is about history. This is about art. Open your mind. Dude, my mind has been open. And going back to what I said before, even if you take the Last Supper out of it, even if you take religion out of it, it is still not an appropriate display. And you can morally look at that and go, that's not really for me. I didn't tune in to see the relay or whatever it is, or Simone Biles do her amazing things for this. That's not even in the... How did you put this together? Why were you like, this is what the people need? This is ridiculous. It's absurd. But when you understand that culture and American culture, because there are two things that are going on here. This is a world stage. This is a global culture event through the lens of American politics. And when you understand in American politics that the idea of being a Christian, an outspoken Christian right now, is an isolated class in the United States of America. Christians have been told since Christians were around that they were not wanted, that they were wrong, that they were, judgmental, that they were hypocrites. That's the existence of Christians. That's not new information. But we have recent studies and facts and examples of how our own elected government in the United States of America, which is of us, they don't exist to rule us until they do. Where they say, we're isolating you. We are tracking you. We are going to spy on you. We are going to imprison you. That's happened. That's just a fact. And to think if any single one of those things that I just listed happened to people in a different community, not the Christian community, maybe the LGBTQ community. What would happen in this country if somehow or another there were, you know, like drag queens were put on a domestic terrorist list? Would we know about that? Would that be talked about? Would there be any?
I'm computing. Yeah, I think the mainstream media might carry that one.
Yeah. Christians are used to sitting quietly for too long and not, you don't have to attack as much as you have to first defend and speak up. I do find it very interesting how many people are, regarding the Olympic thing, very bothered by other people saying, I'm not watching that. Like, what do you care? What does it matter to you what I do with my time? Like I said at the very beginning of the show, I'm not watching the Olympics anyway, not on purpose. I don't, you know, in my house, if they were on, if my kids were watching them, I don't think I would be like, we're turning that off. I don't, there are things that I would do that for. I don't think this is the Olympics would be one of them. But if people do want to turn it off, why do you care? Isn't the whole idea to be open to other people's walks of life? And if somebody else gets to police all of my thoughts and constantly check me for whether or not I'm righteous enough to be around you, haven't you just inverted the whole system that you originally hated? That somebody's dogma gets to overrule everybody all the time and you can call on it at any time to isolate somebody? Isn't that what you hated to begin with? Because I think it is. And it's hypocrisy. And people hate it. Let's take a quick break. Go vote in YouTube poll. Are you watching the 2024 Olympics? Yes or no? We will get to the results of that in about 25 minutes, I say. 24 minutes. And we'll tell you how many people here listening to this show are participating in watching the Olympics. We'd love to know what you think about it, too. You could leave your comments on the Annie Fry YouTube poll. On X, Linda said, not watching Olympics for the first time in my life. And Helen said, yes, but I'm also looking into supporting C Spire, who immediately withdrew their ads from the Olympics in response to the opening ceremony. So I guess in that situation, it's complicated. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Annie Fry Show. The president, and by the president, just to be specific, I mean Biden.
Okay.
Is going to reform the Supreme Court.
Does he know?
He said it.
Okay.
He has no authority whatsoever to do any of this. This is from Yahoo News. President Biden on Monday unveiled three proposals aimed at reforming the United States Supreme Court to combat what he called the, quote, increasing threats to America's democratic institutions, which is always good when the executive branch tries to take over one of the other co-equal branches. Aimed at restoring, quote, trust and accountability to the court and our democracy. Number one. The no one is above the law amendment. It's good that the executive office is like, hey, Supreme Court.
no one's above the law except me.
In an op-ed for The Washington Post outlining his proposals, Biden said he is proposing a constitutional amendment that would make clear that there is no immunity for crimes a former president committed while in office. Wouldn't that just be challenged at the Supreme Court?
You can't just overturn a ruling.
Yeah. Also, there's no way in heck. I think you need 2/3 of both. It's not happening. We couldn't agree on a 2/3 in the House and the Senate that, like, Christmas is fun.
Yeah, this is This is stupid.
Biden says he shares our founders' belief that the president's power is limited, not absolute. We are a nation of laws, not of kings or dictators. It's funny how the only threat to democracy comes when the Democrats don't get their way.
So he's worried about the overuse of the executive. Like, he's worried about himself having too much power.
So he's going to change the Supreme Court.
So he's going to change anybody that disagrees with him. The laws.
The Supreme Court says, hey, the Constitution says that you can't do that. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to change the Constitution so that you can't tell me what to do. And that's going to save democracy.
Number two, term limits for justices. We have had term limits for presidents for nearly 75 years. We should have the same for Supreme Court justices. Under the president's proposal, a president, quote, would appoint a justice every 2 years to spend 18 years in active service on the Supreme Court. Term limits would help ensure that the court's membership changes with some regularity, Biden said. That would make the timing for court nominations more predictable and less arbitrary. It's not arbitrary.
I guess.
It would reduce the chance that any single presidency radically alters the makeup of the court for generations to come. I wonder if he'd have had three Supreme Court justices, if he'd still be doing this at the end of his term.
Yeah, I wonder too.
I don't, actually.
I think he, I'm glad that he dislikes the idea of a single president upending the way that the Supreme Court operates.
Imagine focusing on Supreme Court term limits before Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you ask the people who would have to vote to put term limits on the Supreme Court to put term limits on themselves first?
Ooh, I like that.
Thank you.
I actually don't mind this discussion, but it's one that you have to have. You can't just do an executive order.
Well, the thing about it is the Supreme Court's lifetime appointment, that's in the Constitution. You would need to amend the Constitution to put term limits on it.
It's not going to happen. Code of conduct, that's the third point. Under Biden's proposal, justices, quote, would be required to disclose gifts, refrain from public political activity, and recuse themselves from cases in which they or their spouses have financial or other conflicts of interest. Currently, all federal judges in the United States are bound by an enforceable code of conduct. But for those on the Supreme Court, the ethics code is voluntary and self-enforced. The proposal follows the revelations that Justice Clarence Thomas and his wife received hundreds of thousands of dollars in tuition and secret consulting fees from the conservative billionaires and conservative judicial activists. Having a binding ethics code for the Supreme Court, Biden said, is, quote, common sense.
These are all things that do sound like common sense. Well, not all of them, but that one does. But the question you always follow up with is, who's enforcing that over the Supreme Court? Because somebody would have to, and that would put them above the Supreme Court. So you have to answer that question in the same breath as suggesting that it exists.
The proposals have an uphill battle in a divided Congress, particularly in an election year and from a president who is not running for re-election. It's a sad sentence. Mm-hmm. If you were like, yeah, that's right, Biden. This is 100% a political talking point and fodder for campaigns. The Supreme Court, in my opinion, was what got Donald Trump elected in 2016. Mitch McConnell being of centermost importance in saying that they weren't going to put Merrick Garland. What a move. That Merrick Garland was not going to get considered Obama's appointee. Obama did get his appointment. Obama made an appointment. Mm-hmm. And the Senate is there to take that up and approve it. And the Senate chose not to. That is in their purview. Clearly in their purview. And dodged a bullet there. So when the Supreme Court was on the ballot in 2016, I think that heavily. I mean, when people were thinking Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. Donald Trump was an unknown factor. Hillary Clinton was a very known factor. And I think that a lot of people, and again, that was at the top of my list. There was no way that I was going to put a Supreme Court justice pick in the hands of Hillary Clinton. Think about where our country would be right now if she would have appointed those three spots.
I don't want to.
It's dramatic. Well, that's where we are right now. This election will be the same. Do you want Kamala Harris or Donald Trump to be able to cover? I mean, they're begging. Is it Sotomayor or Kagan that they're asking to step down? One of them is. They're saying that that she needs to step down because they want Biden to be able to replace her. And I mean, we're really kind of past that point.
I think it's Kagan.
Yeah, whichever one's older, it would be. This whole issue is weird because I was reading these same headlines this morning and thinking probably the same thing that you were just kind of alluding to, that they're making this a campaign issue. They want to make the Supreme Court a campaign issue. But I don't know that that's the right message this year, because that does turn out your base. But what it sounds like, at least when I was reading the headlines, it all reminded me of court packing, because it was like dramatically changed the Supreme Court and all this. Well, if America hears court packing, that's not popular. People don't like dramatic changes to the institutions. That's one of them. So if they make this an issue, you might turn out your base a little bit, but it's not going to bring out anybody else.
I don't think that this is what happens when you have a supportive media that will agree and nod along with whatever you say. If you understand the founding fathers and why they made each branch of government so distinctly different, the reason why Supreme Court justices have lifetime appointments is so that they can only be bound by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So that they can truly adhere and focus on the Constitution, the intention of the Constitution. Do you apply it broadly? Do you apply it narrowly? Whatever the case in front of them might dictate. But that it's so that they don't have to focus on elections or anything outside of the purview of what a Supreme Court justice needs to decide. And they're the only branch of government that does that, because that's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get there without A, being appointed by one branch, and B, being approved by the other. So, you know, I can think of conservative presidents who have appointed justices that conservative voters are a little less enthralled with at this point in time. But that's the nature of that's the purpose of that branch of government. And I think that the distinction from one to one to one is important. It's not to make it like when I hear people in politics say, well, every other civilized nation does X, Y, and Z. When America doesn't, just because you're telling me that other countries do, that is in no way, shape, or form at the top of my list of, oh, that's what we should do that. It's actually kind of the opposite. I don't think that there's any, I mean, if the Democrats win this election, I have no doubt in my mind that they will do everything they can to expand government and to continue to fundamentally transform it. But I also don't think that anything that he's listing here with the Supreme Court is a realistic expectation that will actually be able to happen without a... You'd have to have a massive blue wave and a Harris presidency or whoever the nominee is in order to get something like that to happen.
Yeah. So it, in other words, there's no way it'll be Joe Biden doing it. So he's just promoting it for the sake of a possible blue wave with Kamala Harris. Because Mike Johnson already said, this ain't happening in the House. Keep dreaming.
I mean, the purpose of Joe Biden for the rest of this campaign is to help Kamala Harris get elected. I mean, I don't even think that he's functioning as the president of the United States any more than he ever was before. But now that it's kind of like we've called it out, it's out in the open. And I guess people are okay with that. Do you believe Joe Biden is acting as the president of the United States right now? Is he calling the shots?
No, not at all.
I haven't believed that since he was elected.
Same. Do you think he should have to step down?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm trying to come up with reasons why he wouldn't. I can't come up with any. I cannot find a...
To use the phrase, personal ambition.
But any argument that I would try to make that would say, yeah, he should stick it out, is undercut by the fact that he cannot do the job. And everybody knows it, and everybody knows that he can't campaign. So how can you say that he could be the president of the United States? You just can't.
If you're not doing the job, then you don't get the title. The president of the United States isn't a figurehead position. It is leader of the free world. It is the chief executive of the United States. And if you're not doing that, if you can't do that, then yes, step down and put somebody in place, because we didn't vote for your cabinet. We didn't vote for your staffers.
You voted for your wisdom to pick the right ones, but it starts with you.
Right. And then if you're not making the final say, then who is the buck stopping with on all these decisions that are being made? Do they just go up to the individual cabinet member and then that's where it stops? Who's in charge?
Somebody.
Ultimately,
is.
Who has the final say? And if there's one person that has the final say and it isn't Joe Biden, who did we vote for? No, he should step down. He should get out of it.
Do you believe the reports that they told him over the weekend, like he had a week to think about it, but that they were going to pull the 25th Amendment on him?
Yeah, I've read that too.
Do you believe it?
Yeah, I do.
Chuck Schumer was asked about it. I don't know if I have that clip here, but he was asked about his conversations with the president, like what he said or whatever. And all he started saying is he has had an amazing presidency.
Yeah.
And he repeated it and he repeated it. And he repeated it. And then they push back a little bit. And he's like, what we need to know here is he's had an amazing presidency. And it's like, you did it, you dirty dog.
Yeah.
You went and said it. And like, that's the most appalling thing about all of it. It's not because he can't all of a sudden do the job. It's because he can't win. It's the only reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You went to the American people and sold the American people that Joe Biden was the guy. And then when you realize, I don't think you can do it, you pull the rug out from the American people who voted for him. And then you're going to campaign on Donald Trump being a threat to democracy. No thanks. Pass. Hard pass. Let's take a quick break. We'll get the results of the YouTube poll when we come back. Are you watching the 2024 Olympics? Yes or no? And Ryan has cracked the code on those beeps that you hear on the airlines. You know, if you come clean with this, if you come out in the open with it, they're just going to change the code.
Well, we won't podcast this one then.
Okay.
And yeah, like you're right. That. I'm like Dan Brown here. I'm cracking every code.
All right. Geraldo, when we come back, don't go away. I don't know. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Happy Monday. Monday's almost over. That's good news, right?
Yeah, unless you're Mark Reardon.
He will take you on your ride home.
That's right.
And he's the type of soothing, calm voice that you need to ease you out of your workday.
Yeah. He's like listening to one of those old tapes that you did with yoga.
I didn't do tapes of yoga.
What are you talking about?
But tell us
about?
More.
You know how you sit in a certain stance, like, I don't think you'd say om. I think that's like way into yoga. But I think the old-fashioned yoga was you sit, you calm yourself, and then you listen to Mark Reardon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm. That's the medicine you need for 2024.
That's what I thought.
It's what I use. 97.1 in my car all the way home.
Yeah.
I
tape it. You listen to the tapes. That's what I'm saying.
You gotta find a tape.
Yeah, you gotta find it.
Ding.
Turn this tape over. This is some random show of Mark's from the late 90s.
That was actually a segue to the story. You just missed it.
Oh, sorry about that. You did a good job, though.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah. Great job.
You, however?
Not so much. So the story
is... What's the sound
is...
for that?
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom. That's good.
Airplane passengers.
One day I want you to come in here for the whole show and just do sound effects and drops, but with your mouth.
Yeah, like the police academy.
Tomorrow we got Jim Carafano at 105.
Uh-huh.
Come on in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in Paris? Yeah. And I'll be like, because that's Parisian music.
Paris music. I think I've seen what the Parisians do.
Hey, if you
don't do that, don't come in here and do that.
If you're flying to Paris,
yeah,
you know, these might be some tips.
Wow.
Huh?
Don't pull something stretching that far.
Huh? Airplane Smooth. Passengers, speaking of flying, were blown away after learning that those ubiquitous dings on an airplane are actually
not dongs.
Nope, not dongs. You don't want to see those on an airplane. In fact, if you do, you get kicked off right away, even midair. Don't ask me how I know. They're actually a code crew members use to communicate with each other, among other things. Have you figured out what any of these dings mean, Annie?
When one you're on of them a plane? Means that you need to buckle your seatbelt. One of them means you can unbuckle your seatbelt. One of them means maybe that the bathroom is in use. One of them means that the plane's going down and you're going to die.
I mean, all these things do exist. Yeah. No, that's three dings.
Oh, what? Three dings?
If you ever
what?
Hear three dings together, emergency? That is an emergency.
Oh, crap.
They'll still sound calm, though. Ding, ding, ding. Then you go, uh-oh.
So you hear the one, and then you kind of look up, and then you hear the two, and then you lean forward, and
uh-huh.
then you just hopefully wait.
Yep. Yep. After the third one, you go, okay, I'm going to claw at this thing until my mask drops out.
Put your mask on first.
The clip says that a single ding is when the plane is getting ready to take off or land. And then two dings signify that the plane is at a safe altitude to use electronic devices and other provisions.
So what's the point of having these dings that most people don't know? Or are we in the rare group of people who didn't know these?
I think most people did not know them. At least, you probably have an idea that something's happening when you hear those. But there's a little bit of a code here. This was the one that I'm like, ooh, I pay attention to this one. A single ding that sounds later on, like in the middle of the flight, indicates to the crew that they should begin the food and drink service.
You think that there would be like a light where they were that would just be like, it's good.
Nope.
Not to notify everybody.
Nope. About 5 minutes after takeoff, you'll hear that two dings mean that you're getting ready to take off. Or sorry, right before that, you'll hear one that says your plane is ready for takeoff. So until you hear that ding and you're just sitting there on the runway, you're not actually going anywhere. Once you hear that ding, you know, okay, we're in line. We're getting ready to go.
Or you could just look outside.
You could, but that would be
cheating.
Then you wouldn't have to listen to this. You need to listen to this. Take notes.
The thing is moving, but you haven't heard the ding yet. And you're like, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
Cheap fake.
Hey, wheels up. No. No ding. Here's an important one.
No ding, man.
A high to low beep means like ding, ding, means that one flight attendant is signaling to another that the flight deck is trying to reach them. I don't know why you would need to know this, but I think it's interesting.
What's the flight deck?
I guess that's the cockpit. The cockpit is saying, hey, we need a flight attendant. Ding, ding.
Do they need like a Diet Coke on the rocks?
It doesn't say why they're asking. You never want to hear, to conclude, three dings.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dang, dang, dang.
Ding, dang, dong. So,
what
there you
it,
go.
What does it say that means?
It means that I am on the wrong page for you to ask that question.
You're out of time.
There we go. The tonal trifecta signifies an emergency. I'm glad I got there for that. So now you have all the info you need.
Emergency is a very broad category.
And emergency. It could be anything. But if you hear three, that doesn't necessarily mean your plane's going down. Maybe some baby is losing his mind behind you or something. I don't know. It could be many different things that would necessitate an emergency.
That sounds like you
medical,
made that up.
I did make that up. But what about in a medical emergency? Yeah. Maybe it's that. I don't know. It just says an emergency. So if you see, again, if you see anything happening but you don't hear the dings, don't believe it. If you hear three dings, you know you're in trouble.
I wish we had three dings for this show right now.
But if the plane
it's going down.
If it nosedives and you see fire everywhere and you don't hear the dings, worry about it. Oh, you're fine.
Are you watching the Olympics?
I am not watching the Olympics.
Were you going to watch the Olympics?
No.
Brad?
I don't think I was.
Were you a no and you were a no and M&O?
Yeah, I was and still am.
Same. Maybe we just hate our country. That's what some people suggest.
I don't know. Unless you
actually pay attention to and watch the athletes, then you hate America.
I say this again. Basically, everybody trains in America now anyway. So you're just watching a bunch of people who trained here go compete against each other.
Maybe. Is that fact?
True. Yes.
Aren't there reasons why you would train other places
Ding.
For other things?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man, the show's over.
We gotta go.
Yeah. Oh, we asked you on the Andy Fry YouTube channel, 320 votes today, which is wonderful. Are you watching the Olympics? 74% of you said nope, you're not watching
it. Wow, 74.
Yeah. 3 out of 4, not watching the Olympics. Well, we're not going to talk about them a whole lot here. I don't know that this is going to be a topic that continues on, but I was asked a lot about it, so we wanted to get to the bottom of it. If you want to hear my thoughts on it, check the podcast. The beginning of the show, I talked about the opening ceremonies. Stick around, though. Mark Reardon coming up next.
Here, I'm cracking every code.
All right. Geraldo, when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Happy Monday. Monday's almost over. That's good news, right?
Yeah, unless you're Mark Reardon.
He will take you on your ride home.
That's right.
And he's the type of soothing, calm voice that you need to ease you out of your workday.
Yeah. He's like listening to one of those old tapes that you did with yoga.
I didn't do tapes of yoga.
What are you talking about?
But tell us
about?
More.
You know how you sit in a certain state, like, I don't think you'd say om. I think that's like way into yoga. But I think the old-fashioned yoga was you sit, you calm yourself, and then you listen to Mark Reardon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm. That's the medicine you need for 2024.
That's what I thought.
It's what I use. 97.1 in my car all the way home.
Yeah.
I
tape it. You listen to the tapes. That's what I'm saying.
You gotta find a tape.
Yeah, you gotta find it.
Ding.
Turn this tape over. Listen to some random show of Mark's from the late 90s.
That was actually a segue to the story. You just missed it.
Oh, sorry about that. You did a good job, though.
Thank you. I know.
Yeah. Great job.
You, however?
Not so much. So the story is...
What's the sound for that? Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Boom, boom, boom,
boom. That's good.
Airplane passengers.
One day I want you to come in here for the whole show and just do sound effects and drops, but with your mouth.
Yeah, like the police academy.
Tomorrow we got Jim Carafano at 105.
Uh-huh.
Come on in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in Paris? Yeah. And I'll be like... Because that's Parisian music.
Paris music. I think I've seen what the Parisians do.
Hey, if you
don't do that, don't come in here and do that.
If you're flying to Paris,
blue.
Yeah,
you know, these might be some tips.
Wow,
huh?
Don't pull something stretching that far.
Huh? Airplane Smooth. Passengers, speaking of flying, were blown away after learning that those ubiquitous dings on an airplane
are
actually
not dongs.
Nope, not dongs. You don't want to see those on an airplane. In fact, if you do, you get kicked off right away, even midair. Don't ask me how I know. They're actually a code crew members use to communicate with each other, among other things. Have you figured out what any of these dings mean, Annie?
When you're on a plane? One of them means that you need to buckle your seatbelt. One of them means you can unbuckle your seatbelt. One of them means maybe that the bathroom is in use. One of them means that the plane's going down and you're going to die.
I mean, all these things do exist. Yeah. No, that's three dings.
Oh, what? Three dings?
If you ever
is
hear three dings together,
emergency?
That is an emergency.
Oh, crap.
They'll still sound calm, though. Ding, ding, ding. Then you go, uh-oh.
So you hear the one, and then you kind of look up, and then you hear the two, and then you lean forward, and
uh-huh.
You just hopefully wait.
Yep. Yep. After the third one, you go, okay, I'm going to claw at this thing until my mask drops out.
Put your mask on first.
The clip says that a single ding is when the plane is getting ready to take off or land, and then two dings signify that the plane is at a safe altitude to use electronic devices and other provisions. So,
what's the point of having these dings that most people don't know? Are we in the rare group of people who didn't know these?
I think most people did not know them. At least, you probably have an idea that something's happening when you hear those. But there's a little bit of a code here. This was the one that I'm like, ooh, I pay attention to this one. A single ding that sounds later on, like in the middle of the flight, indicates to the crew that they should begin the food and drink service.
You think that there would be like a light where they were that would just be like, it's good.
Nope.
Not to notify everybody.
Nope. About 5 minutes after takeoff, you'll hear that two dings mean that you're getting ready to take off. Or sorry. Right before that, you'll hear one that says your plane is ready for takeoff. So until you hear that ding and you're just sitting there on the runway, you're not actually going anywhere. Once you hear that ding, you know, okay, we're in line. We're getting ready to go.
Or you could just look outside.
You could, but that would be...
cheating.
Then you wouldn't have to listen to this. You need to listen to this. Take notes.
The thing is moving, but you haven't heard the ding yet. And you're like, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
Cheap fake.
Hey, wheels up. No. No ding. Here's
no ding.
Here's an important one.
No ding, man.
A high to low beep means like ding, ding, means that one flight attendant is signaling to another that the flight deck is trying to reach them. I don't know why you would need to know this, but I think it's interesting.
What's the flight deck?
I guess that's the cockpit. The cockpit is saying, hey, we need a flight attendant. Ding, ding.
Do they need like a Diet Coke on the rocks?
It doesn't say why they're asking. You never want to hear, to conclude, three dings.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dang, dang, dang.
Ding, dang, dong. So,
what
there you
it,
go.
What does it say that means?
It means that I am on the wrong page for you to ask that question.
You're out of time.
There we go. The tonal trifecta signifies an emergency. I'm glad I got there for that. So now you have all the info you need.
Emergency is a very broad category.
An emergency. It could be anything. But if you hear three, that doesn't necessarily mean your plane's going down. Maybe some baby is losing his mind behind you or something. I don't know. It could be many different things that would necessitate an emergency.
That sounds like you
medical,
made that up.
I did make that up. But what about in a medical emergency? Yeah. Maybe it's that. I don't know. It just says an emergency. So if you see, again, if you see anything happening but you don't hear the dings, don't believe it. If you hear three dings, you know you're in trouble.
I wish we had three dings for this show right now.
But if the, if the plane,
it's going down.
If it nosedives and you see fire everywhere and you don't hear the dings, it's don't fine. Worry about it. Oh, you're fine.
Are you watching the Olympics?
I am not watching the Olympics.
Were you going to watch the Olympics?
No.
Brad?
I don't think I was.
Were you a no? And, you were a no at M&O?
Yeah, I was and still am.
Same. Do we? Maybe we just hate our country. That's what some people suggest.
I don't know.
You actually pay attention to and watch the athletes, then you hate America.
I'll say this again. Basically, everybody trains in America now anyway. So you're just watching a bunch of people who trained here go compete against each other.
Maybe. Is that fact?
True. Yes.
Aren't there reasons why you would train other places for
Ding.
Other things?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man, the show's over.
We gotta go.
Yeah. We asked you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, 320 votes today, which is wonderful. Are you watching the Olympics? 74% of you said nope, you're not watching
it. Wow, 74.
Yeah. 3 out of 4, not watching the Olympics. Well, we're not going to talk about them a whole lot here. I don't know that this is going to be a topic that continues on, but I was asked a lot about it, so we wanted to get to the bottom of it. If you want to hear my thoughts on it, check the podcast. The beginning of the show, I talked about the opening ceremonies. Stick around, though. Mark Reardon coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.